So that's one of the most beautiful bird songs ever. I think possibly everybody's favorite, or everybody's one of the top three, the hermit thrush. And we have them all over our region, all, you know, northern North America. Well named. I don't know if I've ever actually seen one, but I hear them in my woods.
Yeah, you hear them way more often than you see them. And, of course, as a result, there's actually less known about their actual lifestyle and mm-hmm. biology than a lot of other birds that are not so unobtrusive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they're really shy. You know, I think we had a little population boom of hermit thrushes when we had an infestation of forest tent caterpillars a few years ago. And first of all, there were a ton of caterpillars in the treetops that dropped down. You know, they don't stay in the tents. They drop down on these ropey, webby things and end up on the forest floor. And I was, of course, speculating that it was the caterpillars that drew the birds. And it just seemed like I had more hermit thrushes around. They were calling all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do eat insects. They're usually ground feeders or kind of low down. So
That would make sense.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if they'd go up to get tent caterpillars. They might. But, of course, like you say, the caterpillars come down,
too. When they were nice and big and fat. Yeah.
So, but they're pretty much the most widely distributed, or one of the most widely distributed forest nesting migrant type
really?
Birds. So they go coast to coast. Pretty much they're like southern Canada, the northern U.S. Mm-hmm. during the summer, and then southern U.S., maybe down into Mexico and Guatemala a little bit during the winter. So mm-hmm. they do migrate, but not all that far.
Not really into the troubled tropics down there.
Right, which is actually one of the nice upbeat things about their story, in addition to how beautiful their song is that their numbers are increasing, stable or increasing, mm-hmm. and that makes sense. They like forest edges, so in the places where you are losing forest, there's still an edge.
And where forests are coming back from farmland, which is more our territory here in northern New York.
Right. And the other thing is, like you said, they don't go farther south into Central America where there's more of the deforestation problems that other migrant birds have trouble with. So if you do see one, they're sort of robin-sized and a kind of a rusty color, a reddish tail, and they have a spotted chest.
Dull brown,
kind of dull brown, looks like the forest floor, the dry leaves of the forest floor. And one other little sign of them is they flick their wings while they're perched.
Mm-hmm.
A little nervous tick kind of a thing, it looks like. And another thing is they raise their tail really quickly and then lower it slowly.
Huh.
That's another little
kind
little
of the
sign
opposite
there,
of a flicker, kind of.
Yeah.
I'll keep my eye open for that. I really don't think I've ever seen one, but now I might recognize that.
But the song's really beautiful, and it's complicated, too. There are patterns to it. And people that study birds notice that there are different dialects, and different individuals can have their own unique thing, too. So there's the standard patterns. It starts with a low introductory note, and then a second note, and then this complicated cascade people call it organ-like or flute-like or like a ventriloquist. It almost like the sound melts away into the forest. You don't really know where the bird is. But they're
they have other calls too. I looked it up on the Audubon guide there, and they have what are called way calls, and they sound more like an alarm or something. But this is the call where they're attracting a mate. The male is making this beautiful song.
Yeah, it's sort of ironic for something called a hermit thrush. It's called an advertising song. And there can be maybe a dozen versions of it, that short burst of melody there. They'll put one after the other in this random pattern to sort of showing off what they can do.
Their little aria.
Little aria. And so that's the males will show up early in the season in the northern part of their range, and they'll start defending the territory by calling, and any other thrushes that show up get chased off.
Mm-hmm.
But if a female shows up, you'd think they'd sort of like that, but she gets chased too.
He's a real difficult guy.
So he's just, one-track mind. If you're on my territory, you don't belong here. But, of course, the species persists, and they do that because the female runs, but she doesn't go very far.
Ah.
tries to stay within the territory and kind of wear down his resistance.
They must get more friendly toward the end there.
Yeah, it takes like after a day or two, she still gets chased, but it's a leisurely thing and they pause once in a while and look at each other and then continue the chase. Mm-hmm. So after maybe 3 or 4 days, he says, all right, you can stay.
That's nice, nice. Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley at St. Lawrence University.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.